eats it up pretty fast. If you take a real big rig, slabs, no more than get them in, then they're gone.
Yeah.
Like Warren Matoon's up there. That's a 6 by 16. 6 feet wide, 16 feet long. The tremendous fire in there.
So he needs maple or something, right?
Yeah. He burns everything and throws them in 8-10 inches through.
Uh-huh. You were telling me how old your rig was?
Oh, yeah, some of the equipment. I don't know just how old the hatch is. We bought that second hand. But we've got buckets. It was bought in 1913 and still in use. And we got a gathering tank. It was bought in 1922. It's still going.
That's good use.
Yep, that's extra good use. And it's been, it was built more than it was ever used. It's been used every year, but it's been slid off, you know, and split open and had to be soldered. And still, it's a pretty good tank now.
I saw the sled for my first time.
Yeah.
You could pull an elephant on that sled. It's pretty rugged looking.
Yeah, he made the whole original sled to begin with. He made it. Runners, beams, and everything. A lot better than it is now, because he's a lot better worker than I am. But that's been in, well, I guess that's been in service for 25 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
That one sled. Something goes to hell, you rebuild it. He's got a good one back of the track that he just built here last year, wasn't it?
As long as you've got the iron, you can go to work with it.
Up. And then they begin to level off, you know. They're kind of average. But things don't average now. One thing is so damn high, and the other one, and even at the high cost of labor. I got they don't level off. The people are getting $100 to $125 a week, and what they have to pay the state and the government and old age. God damn, a lot of them ain't got money enough for the week. They're running out of money for the week's out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that ain't good. That ain't business. Back. Say 30 years ago, just before I went into service, say 42, a man made $18 a week. God, he could buy his groceries and make his payments if he had mortgage and stuff on $18 a week, a lot better than he can 120 now.
Mm-hmm. The bank changed its name. You see the new sign?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
That's a damn good place down there. This bank cash a check, and that's about all it's good for.
Yeah.
They don't like me any better than I like them. Same old cast is back of it as it was when the banks crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Old Lionel over to Bethel.
Oh, same man?
I got, if you wanted to borrow some money to buy a truck with, he'd want you to buy a pair of oxen. And then when he got all around, he wouldn't let you even have the money to buy the oxen.
Yeah.
Oh, he was one of them when they thought they had me right where they wanted me. Well, I slipped out. They thought they had their hands on me, but they didn't. No, they had me all sold out, you know.
Had there been an auction?
Huh?
Had there been an auction, or was
no,
it?
No, hadn't been nothing said to me.
What did they do?
They had it all sold to another party, all ready to make out the paper. Thought I was going to come down and let them sell the whole damn thing.
Oh, they had a buyer, though.
Yeah, they had a buyer already, and they was already sell it to him. I had a year, and I'd take my year. And then they'd sell it for foreclosure. Sell it right out for the dollar, right here.
Yeah.
They was mad ever since. I never could borrow a dollar or anything of them. They was a crooked bunch. Then the big receiver come in. You see the banks crashed, the bank holiday, you heard of that. And the money was all impounded and everything down the government. It was back of these banks and everything. Boy, if you had money in the bank, a lot of women made money washing over the wash tub to put the kids through school. They couldn't draw a dollar. They couldn't get a dollar of their own money. It was impounded right in that bank there. Mm-hmm. And then they sent up this receiver from Boston. He called me in one day and says, I understand you've had a few words down there. And I says, yeah, kind of hot words too. But I says, I didn't damn one of them get out of the jail. Well, he says, I've got good news for you. I says, what's that? He says, I got 4 years to straighten this bank up. And he says, you got 4 years to straighten your business up. Now he says, go ahead and see what you can do in 4 years. And then he says, borrow the rest of it and pay it off. Well, that was the difference in the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, how about the rest of them? He says, they ain't got a damn thing to say about it. He says, I'm big boss around here now. He says, I'm running the show. So I went to work for him, cutting pulpwood. That was a starting, a cutting pulpwood around here. And I worked for him 4 years, cut it in half. And then I borrowed it, the rest of it off a new bank. And then it was the same damn thing, hound, hound, every time you turned around, they wanted their money back. And I finally borrowed the money off Stanley Wilson here in town. Paid him up.
See the man who became governor?
Yeah, he was governor of the state of Vermont a while. Yeah. Used to live up where Arnold Preston does now.
Yeah.
Then I went ahead. Never asked me for a dollar from the time I borrowed it till I paid him the last dollar. And I got no use for this bank down there. And the fellows that run it.
Well, they call it the Proctor, but it's still the same bank.
Yeah, same big bribe. I hired the money from the new bank after they set it up through a director. The same bank. Through a director down in South Orleans, a fellow by the name of Goodridge. He was a good man. But they didn't like it. And they held hell out of me from the time I borrowed it to the time I paid them.
Send you letters or come up here?
Yeah, letter in the mail. Make any difference if you had the interest paid up and made your payment. They still was looking for more. And just before I went in the service, they heard I'd been drafted into service. I got a letter from one of the directors that understood that I was going into service to call in the bank and settle up my notes before I went. And he was in the market for cattle, you know, and he figured he'd come in, he'd buy the cattle for what he wanted to pay for them. And I went down to see him down at the bank. I said, I just signed the notes, paid the interest and paid the payment. What the hell's trouble you fellas? Oh, well, I was going into service and I got square up in notes. And I said, God, I wasn't born yesterday. I says, I'm going into service, and you won't get one goddamn dollar till I get out. When I get out, I'll pay you up. And they couldn't draw a dollar. I was in the government service.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't seize nothing, and they couldn't demand a payment. And that's another thing. When I come back, couldn't borrow a dollar off them.
Mm-hmm.
After I got them paid up.
Because they were mad.
Yep, the same now. I couldn't go in there. I went in and see the little fellow that was over from Bethel. I wanted to buy a new chainsaw. And I had money enough to make a down payment on the chainsaw. And I wanted to borrow the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of putting it through a public finance, because they cost like hell when you put them through public finance. Well, he says, sure, I guess it'll be all right. He says, I'll find out for sure. Well, it's just a branch of Bethel Bank where I was in. Old Arnold was over there. He wouldn't let me up a goddamn cent. He remembered back. And he came back, and I went in to see him on Monday morning, and he says, I don't know why, but he said they didn't want you to have it. I says, I know why.
That's 40 years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
40 years ago.
Yeah, he'd remembered from 40 years. So I went down, Joe down there in Lebanon, told him I wanted a chainsaw. Do you want to finance it? And he said, sure, we'll finance it. They put it right to the finance outfit over there in Lebanon. Well, it's higher, you pay a bigger rate of interest, and you're insured and everything. In case you get killed or something, it's all paid. And that costs you money, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the kind of.
But by God, they never, they got the payments practically just when they were due, and of course they could borrow it up $1,200 when they wanted it.
That's strange, because the bank is, they're kicking, but they're making interest all along.
Yeah.
That's all, that ought to keep them happy.
Yeah, and these finance outfits, they make a big rate of interest, but you got to be insured if you get anything down at the bank, so it's got to be insured, so if you get killed automatically, that's paid. They can't lose. Hell, they use me fine down there. Only just the high rate of interest I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going right down to Joe's down there up on chainsaw. I finance it themselves. Go right down there and get a new chainsaw tomorrow. I want it.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Helen that the fellow who's going to pick up the syrup, he's waiting for the check to come in the mail.
Yeah.
But he figured he'd... His name is George. He's turns out he's my friend, and he's going to come over maybe Thursday or Friday. He'll have the check.
Oh, that'll be good.
I was the one who told him you had the syrup.
How much obliged
at,
to you.
At the, they had this meeting, and they said, anyone know anyone with any syrup? And there are only two or three people who knew. Someone said Roger Gilman had some, and someone said Mattoon had some, and I said you had some.
I guess Roger ain't got any left. I don't think he has.
No?
No, I think it... Well, I know Dave. He'd got rid of all the hairs. And I think Roger had. I think when he was up here with the mowing machine, he'd get rid of practically all of it then. But I'm pretty sure Warren's got some. And he wanted more than what we had. So he can step right to the phone and call Warren up.
Yeah, and what's nice is they sell it for just what they pay for it.
Yeah.
Because they're not trying to make any money. They had 10% for their office and telephone expenses. And
I'd lot rather sell to a man like that, because somebody's getting a benefit out of it.
No one's putting it high to anybody.
Yeah, nobody's making a big profit on your work, and you're helping other people that have to buy it.
I know, because you told me about the time you saw it broken down into those little containers.
Yeah.
At the high price. It's a different feeling.
Yeah. I sold to that Allen over there, and we sold it for $8, right? Sold it for $8, and we happened to be over there in the fall looking for some cucumbers to pickle, so I stopped his place. I asked him how business was. Not very good. He's pretty gruffy. And he says, people drive in here with great big packets and Cadillacs, and he says they hate to pay $4 a quart for syrup. I got, he bought the same syrup off me for $8, and he just changed it over into quart containers and doubled his money. I don't like to sell to anybody like that. I'd a lot rather sell to somebody who's going to eat it.
Yeah.
Just same with potatoes or anything else. I'd a lot rather sell to somebody who's going to eat them, and I would somebody's going to make a profit on it. I don't like to have somebody make a profit on me.
No,
I
it's
never
hard
did.
Enough work doing it, making the product ready to sell.
Of course, anybody's entitled to a little profit, but why they double their money and you do the work, I don't like that. And then we sold another stand over there. And all the syrup they bought that spring, our syrup was the only syrup that they were satisfied. Never said a word last spring. For syrup or nothing.
No, it's first quality syrup.
Yeah, it's good syrup. I wouldn't sell anybody anything but what it's be just what I say it is. if anything should happen, if that gallon of syrup had spoiled, I want them to bring it right back and I'll give another gallon of syrup.
That ever happened?
Well,
not
yeah.
For a long time,
but. Yeah, I got a gallon back, but I always figured it was a fraud. Because the syrup wasn't anything like my syrup when they brought it back, and it is spoiled. And it was blacker than shit, and I don't believe it, because they were spoiled. And been that dark. But I give them another gallon of syrup. Because
mm-hmm.
selling what anything, I want them to be satisfied. But you couldn't put a guarantee, because you don't know why people might take that syrup. They could unload your syrup out of them cans, fill it with something else, and come back onto you.
Yeah.
Same as I told the woman over there. I said, there's the syrup. I took over about 50 gallons to her. I said, there's the syrup. You can open a gallon can, pick your gallon can anywhere in the box. Picture a 2-quart can. Test the syrup and see if it's what you want. But that's all. I don't want only one of each opened. And if you're satisfied, I'll sell it to you. And the minute I sell it to you, it's your syrup. Oh, no, syrup would be all right, sir. And she was perfectly satisfied, but they never said a damn word this last spring. They bought the syrup somewhere else. So you never can tell about the public.
Mm.
I sold one woman potatoes here for probably 6-7 years. Were happy with those potatoes and the nicest potatoes she could get. And 1 year she got a few poor ones. She never would buy another potato. So people, to accommodate the public, it's kind of a hard thing to do.
She never came back?
Nope, she never bought another potato to this day.
And she's still around?
Yeah. Yeah, lives right in town.
That's pretty strange.
Yeah, strange thing. Got potatoes for 6 or 8 years, something like that. And happened to get a, you can't tell, you're apt to get poor potatoes.
Sure.
They're apt to
agriculture.
Be poor. And potatoes, you might sell potatoes and they wouldn't keep tall. They'd rot like hell before spring. Well, you ain't responsible for that. You don't know how they're going to keep. If they're all good, clean, nice potatoes when you sell them, that's as far as you can go.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I've had people say, well, potatoes are bad. He never used to wash his buckets when he stored them. He'd always wash them just before he hung them out in the spring. Like they kept good. He had them for probably 30 years and then he sold them for 50 cents a piece. So they must have been all right to not wash them. But we always wash them just quick so we can get to them, late years. Years ago we didn't used to wash them too good, but now we take off a couple of days and we wash them right up and get them right out of the way. It's just the time to do anything, you know. If you do it that time, you're all right. And if you keep putting it off and letting them lay around, pretty soon they get wired, it's a hell of a job to wash them. This fellow that I was telling you about is about the 10,000 buckets there. Why, he let some of them brand new buckets practically spoil, all stained up, aren't washed, weren't taken care of. Washed them, took them on commission sale and sold some of them for 20 cents a piece. And a bucket will cost you around $1.25 now, a 14-quart bucket. A sprout will cost you 26 cents, and a cup will cost you about 30. See the money you got in one bucket covering the sprout.
That's a lot.
You got almost $2 in a set.
And you'd want to have several hundred or 1,000 out there.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's like having a tractor.
Yeah.
A new track.
Yeah. I think I'm telling you right. back in 1913 that we give 25 cents apiece for buckets, 8 cents for covers, and 6 cents for spouts. That's the difference. You can see the difference in the price.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is almost triple now. Yeah, the buckets would be better than 4 times as much today as was in that period of time. We still got buckets down there. It's in use from 1913. They're getting pretty thin, they're pretty light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen the auctions, anybody that had the money. I've seen good buckets sold for 10 cents a piece, good galvanized bucket.
Are the buckets like the bucket you brought in from the barn? Are they galvanized like that?
They're galvanized bucket, yeah.
That's a good quality bucket.
Yeah, you can't beat galvanized. They used to, back in the old days, they'd have a lot of tin. That's for galvanized, got into, before they put anything out, the galvanized.
Mm-hmm.
And they was taken care of. They're nice, nice buckets, you know. They'd have them big shiny, it'd be just as shiny as a bottle inside. But today, you take a tin bucket, hang it inside of a galvanized bucket. You get a few warm days, your sap will sour in the tin bucket, or it won't sour in the galvanized. It'll keep much better than the galvanized. We got tin buckets down that sugar house. We ain't used for 5-6 years, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after the war, I guess, about 46, 47, the state come out. With a damn rigmarole that there was lead. When we used to plow this with horses, everybody plowed his own road down to the main road. We started right in here at the house and shovel from here clear to Earl's. 4 feet, 6 feet in places, some places 8. And shovel every damn inch of the way.
We have reached now? Every time it
snowed? No, it wouldn't blow every time, but every time it blowed and packed it into the road, we'd have to shovel. No, I don't think we get quite as hard winters as we used to. I don't think we do. Hard enough. And they don't blow in so bad, but they fixed that road. Below Bale there.
Yeah.
They fixed that before they put the new road in. And built it up fast, so it's got a chance to blow over more. They come up and plowed that one time, and two McCullough boys plowed it, two young lads. 5 or 6 times they went over that. And finally there was a brook running right down through the water while they plowed. After it froze, nothing but glare eyes. I bet there was in there 4 or 5 arrows plowing that damn road there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of